Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burden. Thanks so much for tuning into our EN channel. And as always, I want to remind you that God has got a word for you. God has got a word for you today. And so, hey, if you've been tracking with us, we've just been systematically going through the book of Acts, and we're going to put the book of Acts, put it on pause here for about 4 to 5 weeks, and we're entering into the season of Advent. And so Advent, it just celebrates the four Sundays prior to Christmas, and Advent, it means coming, or the dawn of something new. And so the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at the dawn of hope, peace, joy, and love. And so that's where we're headed. Today's going to be a little bit different, okay? It might even be weird. So I want to give you like a prequel to our Advent series. And listen, my hope is to help identify something that's taking place continually in your life through the holidays. And so, like I said, this may be weird. It's going to be a tough preach, so bear with me. I want to put verbiage around something that's transcendent, something that we actually feel that's spiritual. It can be hard to articulate sometimes. So, but here goes. You ready? So this is about 5 or 6 years ago. My wife and my girls, they love Brett Eldridge. And so if you know, Brett Eldridge is kind of like the new Frank Sinatra Christmas guy or whatever, good looking dude and all that. And so they wanted to go into Manhattan. We got tickets at the Beacon Theater, right in Midtown Manhattan. And but to be honest with you, I didn't want to go. Okay. I had a bad attitude the whole way. I don't know if that's too honest, but I'm like, oh man, we got to drive into Manhattan. It's a nightmare. Did I mention to park your car in Manhattan costs a small fortune, okay? And we'll be taking up an offering after this here sermon. And so anyways, we get into driving and we fight through the traffic and we park the car. And listen, it was starting to redeem itself. We went into Tony Dinopoli's. Man, it's this Italian restaurant. Fantastic. The only problem is there's so much noise in the restaurant, I can't hear what anybody's saying at my table. And so I'm just smiling a lot and hoping I'm not agreeing to something that I'll regret later on. And so it's early December, so it's crisp and cool. And we decide we're going to walk uptown to the Beacon Theater. And so we got the layers of clothes on and kind of we walk to the Beacon Theater. And we get there and, man, it is packed. And once you get in, the theater is 8 billion degrees. And so I'm immediately having to peel off all this, coats and jackets. And I become the adjunct, I'll carry everybody's jacket type thing. And so we kind of muster our way into our seats. They're small. Did I mention I had a bad attitude during this event? And so we get down and finally, man, the curtains come up and Brett Eldridge comes out. And the woman sitting directly in front of me, she's got her phone out and she is FaceTiming the entire time, talking about how cute Brett Eldridge is and all this stuff. And I'm asking Jesus to kill me, okay? If I was to shoot you straight, in my heart of hearts, I just want to go home. But here's what I wasn't expecting, that home was going to come to me right there in the Beacon Theater. And so it was kind of crazy, man. The concert ended and but Eldridge did something, and he said something that was very telling. He says, I don't know why I'm going to do this. I just feel led to do it. And he puts his microphone down, and he invited us to sing with him one last carol, a cappella. And he just started out, the first Noel. And then from that moment, voice after voice started joining in unison. It was amazing, man. And as everybody was singing in the Beacon Theater, worship broke out. I don't know how else to say it. And you could tangibly feel the presence of God settled. It was like a fresh blanket of snow. It was the presence of God in that place. And as people are singing this carol together, man, it was tangible. I could tell that some people didn't really know what was happening, and other people very much knew what was happening. They knew the presence of God. And just for the split second, you had this feeling of home, man. And so that's what I want to talk to you about. You know, there was a similar experience they had in the book of Genesis. So Jacob, in Genesis 28, Jacob is on the run from his brother Esau. He's isolated and on the run, but he's not alone. And as he fell asleep in the night, God gave him a dream and met with Jacob in his dream. And he says this, "Jacob, I am with you wherever you go." See, he was isolated, but he wasn't alone. The Lord was with him. And then we pick it up in Genesis 28, verses 16 to 17. It says, "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it.' And he was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.'" And so Jacob, man, just he didn't realize it, man, but the presence of God was all around him. And he says, this is nothing other than the house of God. He would call it Beth-El, the house of God. In other words, it was home. It was home. And I just so love that, man, the presence of God was so thick there that he says, this is nothing other than the gates of God opening up. And I can't help but think, you know, during the holidays, it's as if the gates of heaven are opened up. Man, and just the things of God are more and more accessible. And I would say this, man, during the holidays, like something gets awakened on the inside of the human soul. And I want to attempt to put words around this thing, what we experience. And so it's something that at moments are transcendent, but it's real. Like, you know, how many have heard of a deja vu? Have you heard of that? Deja vu, it's French, and it means already seen. And have you ever had these moments where you step into a place and you're like, did I dream this? Have I been here before? Right? It's this deja vu. It's something, is it something spiritual? Is it something actual? Right? It's this battle kind of to understand. It's this kind of this eerie yet wonderful feeling, you know? And in the same way, I want to highlight today something that's transcendent, man. Something that is awakened in our soul during the holidays. And I want us to push past a feeling, past the natural, into something supernatural. And so that's my hope for us, man. And maybe this is just me, man, but I get into Christmas and the holidays. There's just everything changes, man. The music we listen to changes. What we watch on TV changes. We eat different stuff like during the holidays, right? It's just different. And we try to like coin words around this that we'll use words like, oh, we have the Christmas spirit or the holiday spirit, right? And one word that I love is the word nostalgia. Nostalgia. Do you know that word was coined actually by a Swiss doctor? He was on the front lines, and as soldiers were experiencing these physical ailments of, man, the sleeplessness and distress and depression and with it, what he found out was it was because they were fighting so far away from home. And so he coined their physical illness. He called it nostalgia, the ache for home. The ache for home. And so, man, the holiday season, like none other, it just tends to put its finger on nostalgia, this inner ache that's inside all of us, an ache for home. And if you don't believe me, man, you're just not paying attention. Like every Christmas song, every holiday song that you hear, man, it's nothing but a testament and a crying out for home, for home, for home. Do you know all the Christmas movies we want? And I mean every single one. It's amazing. It's all about this longing for home. Take it, we get to Home Alone, okay? And you remember the story, man. Man, Kevin's family, the entire family blows off to France and leave 8-year-old Kevin at home. And so if that was an actual story, how many know it's a very short movie? Because, man, they come back, social services is there. They take all the kids away from, those parents, that unfit mother. Man, how could you do that? But that's not what happened. And so we know the story. The soul aches to be back together in family, to be back home. And finally, they come back. And there's, I don't know how to describe it, man. There's something about a mother and their child. And when they're reunited, like, man, I felt something on the inside. And then what? Even his mean big brother Buzz, they wind up being reconciled to little Kevin, and he's like a good dude, and I missed you, and all this. What happened? Man, it caused us to feel something on the inside, this ache that we all have for home, man. Another movie is, if you've ever seen Family Man, like it's starring Nicolas Cage, for the record, not a fan. He's a serial overactor, overacts in everything, but he's awesome in this movie, okay? Man, Family Man, and he plays Jack Campbell. And Jack Campbell, he sells his soul, man, for power, money, and success. He got all of it, and it left him hollow and empty on the inside. But he was given this opportunity. What if he could go back and recapture his love with his high school girlfriend, Kate, played by Tia Leone, right? And he goes back in time, man. And so they're this newlywed couple. They got babies. It's just chaos everywhere and exhaustion. Poopy diapers to change, carpool, got to get the kids to bed, and all this chaos and turmoil and exhaustion, and it's amazing. Something that money can't buy. It was home, man. And man, when you watch that, makes you feel something on the inside. And I don't care what movie you're talking about. It's a Wonderful Life. It's about home. Man, A Christmas Carol, it's about home. Even something as ridiculous as Elf, it's about finding home. And all of us have this inner ache on the inside of us for home. And so, listen, I'm going to give you an early Christmas gift, okay? I'm going to teach you a German word here today. And so you ready? Repeat after me. So it's backpfeifengesicht. Backpfeifengesicht. Okay? And I hope you got that. And so that German word, it means a face that badly needs to be punched. Okay? You're welcome. Merry Christmas. But I do want to teach you another word. And it's a word used by the late, great C.S. Lewis. Like C.S. Lewis, he latched on to this German word, and it was this, Sehnsucht, Sehnsucht. It was his way to describe nostalgia, or it's also interpreted longing, this deep longing that we all have for home, man. If you don't know C.S. Lewis's story, he lost his faith early on as a young boy, he lost his mom to cancer at the age of 9 years old, that he saw the atrocities of World War I, and so he just said, man, there is no God, and was gladly, he referred to himself as a perfectly content atheist, but he kept having what he called these jabs or jolts of joy in his life, that there'd be these moments of beauty, joy, laughter, of nostalgia that would strike his soul. And he realized, he kept hungering for more and more and more of that. He wanted to get to the bottom of what was this feeling he was experiencing. And then he says something very telling in his book, The Weight of Glory. Lewis says this. He says, the books or the music in which we thought the beauty was located will betray us if we trust to them. It was not in them, it only came through them. And what came through them was longing. These things, the beauty, the memory of our own past, are good images of what we really desire. But if they are mistaken for the thing itself, they turn into dumb idols, breaking the hearts of their worshipers. For they are not the thing itself. They are only the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have not heard, news from a country we have never yet visited. And so I don't know if you're catching what C.S. Lewis is saying. He's saying, man, there's these things that stir in us a longing that we feel. He says, but it's not the thing. There's something behind the thing. And that's what I want us to get to today, man. What's the thing behind the thing? This nostalgia, these jabs of joy that we'll experience through the holidays. Man, what's behind the whole thing? And Lewis would later say this, that longing, Sehnsucht, it was actually a rope that God used to pull Lewis back to himself. And I play the same what happened to us. Because don't get caught into this trap. He says, man, if we think it's the thing and not the thing behind the thing, you'll worship the thing and their dumb idols. And so, listen, Christmas is going to make promises it can never, ever keep. Okay? And if you don't believe me, like the commercials have already started. Remember, your life's on fire, man. Nothing's working out. But he went to Jared, right? And then like Christmas morning, he'll manage to pop open that ring and it'll just be the most amazing thing. The only problem with that is, you know, like in real life, man, he got the wrong cut of stone, or she wanted white gold, not gold, okay? And for the record, like why that thing, it might be awesome in the moment. It doesn't have the ability to hold your worship or to captivate you. I mean, your ring will get old really, really fast. And if you don't believe me, you can ask my wife, Susan, who's reset her wedding diamond 3 times, okay? Or how about, man, like your world's on fire, man. Nothing's working out. You know what's going to make it all right? It is a puppy. And listen, a puppy would be amazing. And I'm dog guy through and through, okay? But here's what's going to happen, man. That puppy's going to whiz on your floor, man. He's going to chew the coffee table and steal the remote, okay? And so it's just, it's cute, but it's insufficient. See what I mean? Like, Christmas makes promises that it can never keep. I'll tee it off. One of my favorites is, man, your life is bad, you know, but you know what's going to make everything perfect is a Lexus with a big red bow sitting in your driveway. And listen, while that might be awesome, you know what's going to happen? That car is going to get old. Your kid's going to dump goldfish in there or chicken nuggets. It's going to start to smell like your children, and it's just going to be your crappy car, right? So do you see what I mean? All these things are great, but they can't hold our worship. Do you know the reason why? Is it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says that God, he's put eternity inside the heart of man. And so nothing can fill this God-sized hole we have other than God himself. God, he's the thing behind the thing, man. He's really the thing that we're after. And so we get these hints of joy. But let's push past that to see from the natural to the eternal, right? And so, listen, I want to say this, that nostalgia, our ache for home, is less an ache for a place and more an inner ache for a person. Like, you have been designed for a person, and his name is Jesus. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, it says this: "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things," here it is, "were created through him and for him." You were created for God, a person, not a place. John 17 and verse 3 says this: "And this is eternal life, that they know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." He says, this is eternal life. This is what you're after, that you might know me, love me, and walk with me. And so, this is fascinating, man. I ChatGPT'd this thing. And so did you know that a mother's heartbeat, when a child's in the womb, like the heartbeat can be heard. It reaches like 70 to 80 decibels inside the womb. And so there's this constant boom, 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 boom. It becomes the soundtrack to the child in the mother's womb. And so this heartbeat, it becomes this soothing, comforting thing. Moms and dads, I don't know if you've experienced this, but man, I hear so many people, it's like your kid won't go to sleep and is stressed out and overwhelmed. But then if you put the kid on the dryer, right, the hum of the dryer, it's simulating that heartbeat, that motion, right? Or you put the kid in the car or something, and it soothes the baby. And I bring that up because, man, I heard this fascinating little picture of two twins in the womb, and I would like to read it to you. They're having a conversation. In a mother's womb were two babies, and the one turns to the other and says, "Do you believe in life after delivery?" And the other replies, "Well, of course, there has to be something after delivery. Maybe we're here to prepare ourselves for what will be later." "Nonsense," said the first. "There's no life after delivery. What kind of life would that be?" "I don't know," said the second, "but there'll be more light than in here. Maybe we'll walk with our legs and eat with our mouth. Maybe we'll have our other senses. We can't understand now." The first replies, "That's ridiculous. Walking is impossible, and eating with our mouths, that's absurd. The umbilical cord is what scientifically supplies nutrition and all that we need, but it's far too short. life after delivery is to be logically excluded. And the second says, what if it's just different than it is here? Maybe we don't need the physical cord anymore. The first goes, okay, if there were life after delivery, then tell me, why has no one ever come back from there? Delivery is the end of life, and in the after delivery, there is nothing but darkness and silence and oblivion. It takes us nowhere. And the second says, but certainly we'll meet Mother, and she'll take care of us. The first goes, Mother, you actually believe in Mother? If Mother exists, where is she now? And the second goes, she's all around us. We are of her. It is in her that we live. Without her, this world would not and could not exist. And the first says, I don't see her. It's only logical that she's not here. To which the second replied, sometimes when you're in silence and you really listen, you can perceive her presence. You can hear her loving voice calling down from above. And listen, I would submit to you that there's moments in our life when we slow down and we can hear our Creator's voice, the hum of his heartbeat, and this longing on the inside of us to connect with God. Like, you were created for Almighty God. And I want to tell you this, there is another world different than this world, a world where we're once again reunited with our Savior. Do you know, so there's a guy in our church, his name is Tim Karashian, and he races pigeons competitively, right? Okay, don't ask. So, and Tim's a great guy, but I was asking him, I was like, man, how do your pigeons know how to get home? He says, we can take them 500 to 600 miles away, and they'll always find their way back home. That somehow God in his creative order hardwired it in their DNA. And I would say this, man, that stamped onto our DNA is a longing to go home, to be back with God. Did you know that scientists around the world, they're in search in the human DNA for the God gene. They said there must be something there because wherever you go around the globe, humanity is in search of a deity. Humanity is searching and longing for home. David says it in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. David says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you. O God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And so we see this, man, that we are longing for another world. I love C.S. Lewis. He says this. He says, if I find in me a longing that nothing in this world can satisfy, maybe I was made for another world. And you were. You were made for another world. You were made for Eden. Man, we read about Eden. Eden, it means delight. And it's this place where humanity and our God walk together in unity. And so, listen, at Genesis 1 and 2, it starts off and, man, God creates and it's good, and he creates and it's good. There's this rhythm to creation until God creates humanity and he says, this is very, very good. And Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the garden. It's this place, it's this thing called shalom. It means peace. That there was a moment in Genesis 1 and 2 where there's nothing broken and nothing lacking. It's shalom, peace. And it only lasts for 2 chapters. Because in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve, they rebel against God and they sin and eat of the forbidden fruit. And in so doing, shalom, it shatters. And now Adam and Eve are thrust out of the Garden of Eden. And the soul knows it. Like at the deepest level, we know we're not home, man. We're not home. Have you ever paid attention to like whenever there's death, disease, war, strife, that thing on the inside of us that bubbles up and screams, it shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't be this way. Marriages shouldn't be end in divorce, that children shouldn't die, man, that or get cancer. All these different things we say, it shouldn't be this way. Why do you say that? It's all we've ever known. I'll tell you why. Because you weren't made for a Genesis 3 world, man. You and I were made for shalom, found in Genesis 1 and 2. Man, and the great news of the Bible is God's coming back again. And one day, man, he's going to make everything new again. So I'm not sure how many have experienced this place. And so have you ever heard of South of the Border? So if you hadn't, listen, you got to hear how this thing. So south of the border is literally this ghetto, like glorified gas station where there's like just tourist trap trinkets and toys. And that, but the buildup is amazing. And so a 500 mile stretch of I-95 is filled with some like 250 billboards. Okay, you do the math on how often they're showing up. And it's all talking about this awesome place called South of the Border. I think we have an image of it coming up, man. And here's what's so funny. I remember seeing all these signs, and I'm like, man, what's this South of the Border? And you get there, and you're like, wah, wah, right? And I had, it was funny, one of my pastoral friends, his name is Pastor Simon. And Pastor Simon, it's funny, he was taking his family, he was driving them from up north, he's driving his family to Disney, man, to like the Magic Kingdom. And so he was driving the journey, but he kept seeing all these South of the Border signs. And he's like, hey, man, maybe instead we'll go to this awesome place called South of the Border so we don't have to drive all the way and push past into Disney, the Magic Kingdom. And so he got through, and then he finally saw what it was, man. It was like a glorified truck stop. You're like, what in the world? So he pushed through, man, and he kept going to this magical place. And at the end of the day, man, that's our prayer, my prayer for you during the holidays, that you're able to push through and push past. Like when you feel these moments when, man, your family's together and it's just right, that it'll remind you that you're coming. There's coming a time when God's going to reconcile and put us all back together and make everything new again. Man, and when you open like just these great presents that stir your heart and stir your affection, may you push through it and realize, man, that the greatest gift that God could ever give was the gift of his one and only son. And because of that great and glorious gift, it's the gift that keeps on giving for all of eternity, man. And so can you push past the natural into something beyond it, something transcendent? And so, listen, I'm going to end with one last story. You remember the Brett Eldredge concert, man? And we ended with the song, The First Noel. Noel, it means Christmas. So we're singing about the first Christmas. And as amazing as that was, do you know it's going to be even more amazing, the last Noel? And that we're going to sing a different song. And it's found actually in Revelation 22, verse 20. It says this: he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon, the last Noel. And then our response is going to be, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we love you, God. Lord, I just pray, Lord, during this holiday season, you would give us your amazing grace, Lord, to feel your presence, Lord, behind every meal, behind every song, behind, man, the lights and the tree, God, that we would push past all of it and we'd see you, we'd feel you and experience you. I thank you and trust you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.